just remains daunting again and ask the Lord to bless His word. Father, tonight we thank you for another opportunity of coming into your house and gathering around your word. We ask you, Lord, you'll speak to our hearts again tonight. We ask you, Lord, that you'll add to us tonight, Lord, and you'll give us grace to help, Lord. And we bless your holy name for every good and perfect gift that you have bestowed upon us. Lord, we just pray for perfect liberty tonight. We pray for the moving of thy Holy Spirit among your people. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Now, just as an introduction, I want to read a couple of verses from the book of Job, chapter 24, and verses 1 and 2. The book of Job, it's just before the Psalms. Sometimes it's hard to find, but it's just before the Psalms. And the Psalms is close to the middle of the Bible. So that's a good clue. chapter 24, verses 1 and 2. And this is Job answering the two comforters. And it's a continuation of chapter 23 and chapter 24. And he simply says, "Why, seeing times are not hidden from the Almighty, do they that know him not see his days? Some remove the landmarks, they violently take away flocks and feed thereof." And you may have your seats tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, I thought it was tremendous this morning what was said about Ahab and Jezebel and Elijah. And you know how that the angel came and awoke Elijah. And you know, when Billy was speaking about that this morning, I was thinking about when we went to school, we used to go to the canteen and we got our dinner. And when we got our dinner, we weren't satisfied. We used to go up to the dinner lady and we used to say, "Have you any seconds?" And we got another plate. And I remember one time I was running in the 220. They talked about the 220 race, 220 yard race on sports day. I remember running in that race. I meant to be running in the race, but I was with a man, Geordie Crummy. And Geordie was a bit like myself. He didn't know when he was full. And he sent me up for the second go at the custard and cake and the dessert. And I come down with a jug of custard, and when I came down, nobody would eat it, only me and Geordie. So we had the second helping. I come in last in the race. See where the Lord what brought the second helping to Elijah. He brought him the second helping. He came again and touched him and said, "Arise and eat." Boy, it was powerful, wasn't it? And you know even how that old Ahab told all that Elijah had done. And how that he had slain the prophets with the sword. And you know, that spirit of Elijah still slays the prophets of Baal with the sword today. The sword hasn't been let go. The sword still wields. I tell you, it's the word of the sword represents the word of the Lord, and the word of the Lord is still among them that have the Holy Ghost. I believe that with all my heart. Now tonight, I haven't got much to say, and I want for a short time to speak about the landmarks. And also, I want to share with you a dream that I had. And it's a very simple thing. But, you know, God sends simplicity, doesn't he? And God speaks to us sometimes in the simplest ways. And thank God when he speaks to us, because when God speaks to us, he's dealing with us. Somebody said God never speaks to people. Well, if he never speaks to people, he's not dealing with people. But I'm glad that he deals with people. He deals with individuals. He comes and he speaks to individuals. You know, I want to share with you part of the day that I had here in Scarborough on the 13th. You may say, well, that's something to come to the pulpit with. But it's just something happened, and I want to share it with you. And I believe the Lord was in it. You know, the Lord's in everyday life. God's with us everywhere we go.
Amen.
The psalmist said that, or the preacher said it, where shall we go from your presence, Lord? No matter where we go, God's there.
Amen.
But I want tonight briefly to look at this here. And Job in chapter 24 and verse 1 says, why, seeing times are not hidden from the Almighty. And you know, when we see the word times, that covers times. God's in eternity, but God is in seven church ages. God's in seven times. And God was in control in all of them times. Isn't that true? And Paul said, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son into the world, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. So we know that God's a God. I don't want you to misunderstand me when I say he's a God of time, but God is in time. And says, seeing times are not hidden from the Almighty. God's up to date with the time. God's not somewhere way back there walking the shores of Galilee, which he did do. He's not away back in a manger in Bethlehem, which he did do. He's not hanging on a cross tonight, which he did do. But some people want to keep him there. Some people want to put him on a cross and make him a crucifix. Make him that he's powerless, without any strength, that he's dead, or that he's far, far away. But I'm glad he's not far away. I'm glad he's a God of the now. Now, he's a God of time, and he's a God of times, and he sees everything. It says here, seeing times are not hidden from the Almighty. Why? God knows what's going on, doesn't he? God knows the beginning from the end. Somebody said that in their prayer. God knows the end from the beginning. It's not right. He said, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. So God knows the finish before the start. That's the God we serve. And Job knew this. I believe Job knew this. He knew that God not only was seeing the times, but he addressed them as the Almighty. He's the Almighty. You know, some people want us to think that Jesus was our God, that he wasn't Almighty God. But Revelation chapter 1, I think it's verse 8, tells us that he was Almighty, and he is Almighty. He's Almighty God. He's Almighty God. And the things that are going on in the world, they're not hidden from God. Some people think there are. They're hidden. Some people think God's away somewhere. He's miles and miles. He's away. He's away out somewhere in heaven. He's not near us. They want a God who's far away. Some people talk about a God who's far away. He's away in outer space somewhere. You'd need a spaceship. You'd need a spacecraft to go to where he is. He's away somewhere. And because he's away, he's not beholden the sons of man. People can therefore think God doesn't see them. God sees them. God sees everybody. God sees you and God sees me. It's not good. It's good to know that God sees us. It's good to know that he hasn't turned his back on us. Now, talking about this, Job also says, do they that know him not see his days? Do they that know him not see his days? It's a question. There's a question mark in my Bible. There's a question mark in your Bible. And even, we have it here, there's even a question mark. Why, seeing times are not hidden from the Almighty, do they that know him not see his days? You know, they don't see it. They don't see his days. And they're real close to them. They can be real close and not see it. You know, I want to share with you, this is only a short story. I'm full of stories. I want to share a story with you about being here on the 13th. Walked up to the remains by myself. My wife was in with my brother-in-law here, George, lives down the street there. And I walk up to the remains and I meet a couple of people that I know. But I keep walking on up, and when you get well up to the remains, there's like a straight part. And then if you keep going on, you're turning a corner to the left, you're climbing the hill, and you're almost at the field. But I didn't go that far. I just came up this straight part. And there on the right, there's a big lorry in there, and there's a lorry trailer parked, and there's a man on there preaching. And he's winding down whenever I come on the scene. Now, I know the man, and he's a good preacher. I will say that about him. And he's just given an invite. And he's given an invite to people, if they're concerned about their soul, for to come to the trailer, to come and talk with him. But there's something that's very plain to be seen. You know the way that people sit when they're up to their mains? They sit on chairs at the edge and they're facing out next to their main. Isn't that right? They're facing out next to the road. So the people who sit on the left are facing out, and the people who sit on the right are facing out. Well, this trailer was on the right, and all the people had the chairs facing the remains, or facing the roadway. And the man who's preaching, he's behind them. I know this is Ireland, but there's the man preaching, and he's preaching away, and everybody's sitting in the chairs with their back to him. Now, the people on the other side of the road, if you can call it the road or the avenue, the people on the other side of the road, they're facing them. But nobody seems to be paying any attention. Nobody seems to be paying any attention whatsoever. And then, I actually happened to meet a man there. I go in round, I'm making my business to go in round till where he is, and I be standing there looking at them. And he is just giving an appeal. He's just sort of winding it down. And the man and woman, then they were coming to sing. And good singers they were. And this man, a man that I knew, came over and he started to talk to me. And the man was still talking away. And he was talking. You know, I didn't like to say to him, "Wait, don't be talking for a minute till I hear what this man's saying." But maybe I should have done that. But he talked about everything under the sun. Only the Lord alone. And he started talking about tractors. Why? I know there's a lot of us here, we all like tractors. But you see, it can be a distraction. And there, he talked about tractors, and in his conversation about the tractors, he took the Lord's name in vain about two times in the course of about 3 to 4 minutes. And then it was time to go. I says to him, "I have to go on." And the man had sort of closed down. The man and woman got up to sing. And they sang a beautiful piece. And then they were coming also, if anyone wanted to buy their CDs, you could buy a CD. But I thought to myself, nobody's concerned. Nobody's concerned. Nobody seems to be concerned. And there it was, but God sees that. God sees that. And then let me move on. You see, it says, "Do they that know him not see his days?" Now, I want to come to that a little later. I want to come to that a little later. Do they see his days? Because God is moving. not going to say God can be moving. I'm going to say God is moving. Moving by His Spirit. And whether we realize it or not, God never stops moving. And anyway, you see, the response to the man preaching, you'd have said it was nil. It was nil. But having said that, God still moves. And I believe God's word will not return. It will not return unto them void. It will do something. The word of God preached will always do something. I believe that with all my heart. Now I want to move on. And Job said here, do they that know him not see his days? And then he goes on to say, some remove the landmarks. They violently take away the flocks and the feed thereof. Now, what for a short time tonight, if I can, I want to talk to you about the landmarks. Now, what is a landmark? A landmark is a boundary. A landmark is a boundary that marks out your territory, if that's the right word to use. That's a landmark. A landmark can be a border. A landmark is something that we never were to move or remove. And even in the law, in the Old Testament, we read, remove not the landmarks in Deuteronomy 19 and 14. But don't want us to turn to that there yet. But Job here says that some remove the landmarks. Now, I want to look at this tonight in a spiritual aspect. Because the natural types of spiritual. And I've written down here, what does the landmark tell us? Now, what does the landmark tell us? Well, let me say this to you. We have a farm survey map. You have to have maps today for to please the people in Brussels. And there's maps that's marking out the fields. And it doesn't only mark out the fields, but it marks the boundaries. And then not only is the boundaries set out, but the size of each individual field is on that map. And if there's a part of the land that's not producing, like wasteland, that also has to be marked and it has to be calculated. But it's still meant to belong to someone, like myself, or if you own property. Now, if you own a property, or if you own a piece of land or a piece of ground, you'll have a title deed. Isn't that right? You'll have a deed for it. And on that title deed, you'll have what you own, or meant to own. And there'll be a landmark. And you see, I've written down here that the landmark tells us what is meant to be ours. The landmark tells us what is rightfully yours. That's the idea of a title deed. Now, supposing someone could come along and take that away. Well, when they take it away, what are they taking away? They're taking away your inheritance. They're taking away what rightfully belongs to you. Now, you can go into the bank today, and if you're fortunate, or maybe I should say if you're unfortunate, you can go into the bank manager and you can tell them you're looking to borrow £5 million. Now, I'm only using that as a figure. Say, you tell them you're looking £5 million. Tell them you're looking £5,000. Tell them you're looking £500. He say, have you any collateral? Is that the right word? Have you any collateral? You say, if we've got a ground and I have a title deed, well, I would need that from you. I would need your title deed. Why would he need your title deed? He'd need your title deed. He'd need your landmark. So that if you weren't able to pay back the money that you have borrowed, now you all know that. this without me telling you, but I'm only going over something that you already know. If you can't pay back what you're meant to owe, he has got the title deed. In other words, he has got the authority to put you out of your house and out of your home and out of your land and set you on the road, as the saying is. That's the long and the short of it. He has took away from you. He wants the landmark, you see. He wants the landmark. You see, I said the natural types of spiritual, the devil's like that. He wants the Christian's landmark. He wants to take away from you everything that God wants to give you. He doesn't want you to have anything from God. He wants to keep you that you have nothing. Now I believe this with all my heart. He wants to rob you. Jesus said that. He said, the thief cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. And see, here Job talks, he said, some remove the landmarks, they vainly take away flocks and feed thereof. Now, the landmark has representation of a fence or a hedge. Not right. Now, I can't go to your house and take the hedge out or take the fence down. Why can I not do that? Because it's your property. And if I take the fence down at your property, if I take the landmark down at your property, how are you going to know what you own? You're going to get the tape out and measure it. Well, that's how it was done at the start. There was a measurement made. There's a measurement in this book tonight. There's a landmark in this book tonight. It tells you what's yours and what's the devil's. It tells you what your entitlements are. You know, whenever we fill in a form, we have to fill in a form every year now for the suit Mommy Rome down in Brussels. One day it'll maybe come to an end, but you know what it's called? It's called your single farm payment, but it's also called your entitlements. What you're entitled to. But if I take the fence away at your house, now you mightn't have a fence, I don't know. You mightn't have any boundaries, I don't know. But if you do have, I can't go down and remove it. Now supposing I go down to your house, and you're in your house, and your wife and your family's in your house, and your children are small children. Now listen to this. And I say to you, I'm taking away your boundary fence. I'm going to move the landmark. And you say, well, all right, go on ahead. You say this, that's not a problem. Go ahead and move it. Right? I move the landmark. Take away the boundary fence. Take it away. And time keeps ticking, doesn't it? Time keeps ticking. And time goes on and you become an old man or an old woman. But you have never told your son or your daughter where that boundary was. You have never told them. Now imagine this. You have never told them where the boundary is. You have never told them where the fence line used to be. You have never told them where the hedge line used to be. How are they going to know? How are you going to find out? Do you know there's a way to find out? Go back to the original. Go back to the original. Go back to the original map. Go back to the original farm survey map. Go back to the original drawing that the man who drew the plans for the house or the property. Go back to the original. You'll see it. You'll see the measurements. Now, let me say this, and I don't want to be sound flippant tonight, but all the landmarks are contained in this book. All the measurements are contained in this book. All the boundary lines are contained in this book, and it's called the Bible. And if you want to know where the boundary is, if you want to know where the fence should be, if you want to know where the head should be, you need to get back You're insecure because you don't know what's your own. You have to know what's yours. That's not right, is that right? Could you imagine me standing out in the car park and you come up to your car and I say to you, what are you doing? You say, I'm getting in the car. I say, hold on a minute. How do you know you own this car? How do you know it's your car? Well, you could say, well, there's the proof. I bought it. I have a deed. Or I have a textbook. I have a registration. It's insured in my name. It's taxed in my name. It's mine. I own it. And whether the HP man would agree or not, that's not important. But you're the owner. The policeman comes up and you're behind the wheel and you're intoxicated. He's going to say the first thing, are you the owner of this vehicle? Are you the owner? But you see, I don't want to miss this today. I don't want to skip over it because I believe it's very important about the landmarks. You see what happens, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Somebody comes along and says, oh, it doesn't matter about that. It'll not matter about it. Sure, let it go on. We'll move the fence. You know, the enemy wants to steal a bit off you. He wants to take a piece that belongs to you. And you know what else? After a long, long time, the next generation, they don't know. They don't know what really should be. They think this is the norm. And can you imagine Satan if he come up to your property and he moves the fence in on you? He wants to surround you, he wants to move the fence in. So he moves the fence in, and where you had room, where you had a large place, now you have your confined space. He has put a restrictor on you. You see, the devil wants to put on he wants to move the landmarks, and he wants to put on restrictions, and he wants to curtail you. He wants to have you, but you haven't got the freedom that you should have. He wants to have you, that you don't have the power that you should have. Put a restrictor on you. You know, see, we were singing a hymn there tonight. We sang several hymns. Now, I don't want anybody to take this the wrong way. And our brother Matthew is doing a wonderful job. But you see some of the words on that overhead? They're not the original. They're not the original words. Now, I know we sing hymns, but maybe don't sing them. Somebody says it doesn't matter if you just sing them, as long as you sing them. But you start taking words out and putting words in. Somebody had to be inspired to write them hymns.
Yes, amen.
I believe that. Now, I know we can put in our own words, and some of the hymns now, some people wouldn't sing them for they say they're not inspired. And rightly so. Rightly so. But some of them are inspired. And I think we need to be careful to sing what's in the book. Because if we don't sing what's in the book, what's young Elijah or young Isaac or Matthew? What's the children going to sing? If we, the parents, don't follow the code, how's the children going to follow the code? If we, the parents, remove the ancient landmarks, the generation that's coming after us, what hope have they got? But I know it's only a simple thing, but listen, people have done that with the Bible. They've made the NIV, they've made the New International Version. Somebody said the Never Intended Version. And it denies the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. What did they do when they changed this book? They removed the landmark.
Yes.
They removed the landmark. Say that doesn't really matter. We put it over here. No, there's where it should be.
Yes.
In the natural sense, the boundary and the fence is the landmark. And Job said in verse 2, he said, some remove the landmarks, they violently take away flocks and feed thereof. Now you go down the road and you see a field of sheep, and you go and you get a digger, get a machine, or get a pair of wire cutters and start cutting holes in the hedge, or pull a piece of the hedge out. Remove the landmarks, pull a bit of the hedge out. What's going to happen? Sheep's going to get out. The sheep will go all over the place. Sheep are going all over the place today. You know, they're going all over the place looking for the word of the Lord. They're running to and fro looking for to hear a word from God, or looking to hear a word from the Lord. Why? Somebody has pulled the landmarks out. Somebody has pulled out the landmarks and they can't see. They can't see one of the days of the Almighty. And you know, some kind of a blur, as we heard this morning, has blinded their eyes. And you know, I think about what was preached here just last week, and Tommy was speaking and he talked about the God of this world having blinded their eyes, and he talked about being alienated from the life of God through ignorance. You know, there's people today and they call themselves Christians and they're alienated from the life of God through ignorance. That's a hard statement, but it's fact. Alienated from the life of God through ignorance. Why? Because somebody removed the landmarks. Somebody said, no, that doesn't really count. No, that's not inspired. Oh no, that's not for today. That landmark was there. Oh, that's hundreds of years there. Oh, we don't need it. Move it. See the way the enemy would come in. You know, he wants to remove the landmarks. He wants to leave you that you have no security. Now I said that if you take the hedge out with a machine, or if you cut the wire with the wire cutters, the flock is going to get out. And he says some remove the landmarks, the violently take away flocks. They're taking people away from the original. They're taking people away from the Bible. You know, Billy said that education, education, education will take you away, and that is true. But the people who are responsible are so-called ministers many of the time. And what are they doing? They have removed the landmark so far that the sheep's away. Right. And you know what Job said here? He says they violently take away flocks. It's ruthlessness. Absolute ruthlessness concerning God's people, the way some people interpret the word of God. They're taken away. They're taking away the flocks. They have removed the landmarks. They've broken down the hedges. And it says they didn't only take the flocks away, it said, and fed thereof. They devoured the flock. They lived off the flock. You know, I know of a man, and it's none of my business. This is none of my business. But I'm only saying this in passing. I know of a man who was on £50,000 a year. No, that's not hard to count. That's £1,000 a week. There's 52 weeks in a year, and he's on £50,000 a year. And he's feeding the flock, so called. A man who sits under him came and told me this story. I didn't ask to hear it. He came and he told it. And he said, John, his offerings for the year was £200 into the church, and that included him and his wife. So he you got £50,000 to give back £200 in the year. Is that man feeding off the flock, or what is he doing? Has he got a flock? That's about the question. He could have one or two husks, so he could. I'm not going to go any farther. £50,000 a year. Feeding on the flock, feeding thereof. You know, be careful. We need to be careful, I believe, as God's people, to guard. Guard the landmarks.
Yes.
Because when the landmarks are gone, truth's gone. When the landmarks are gone, we don't know where we stand. When you have the landmarks, you know your boundaries. You know what's right and what's wrong. Isn't that true? You know, God gave us grace to keep the landmarks. Now I want to tell you a story, and I'm full of stories, and I'm sorry, but the time's going, you're listening well, and it's very warm in here tonight. I don't know if the heat's on or what, but it's very warm, and don't worry, I'm not going to prolong, but I want to tell you a story, and it is very simple, but also it's a true story, and it happened, and there was a dream that I had. Now, will you hear this dream? And it mightn't mean anything to you, and you know, I trust, but that it will mean something to you, and it certainly means something to me, and it was only a simple thing. I dreamed a dream, and in the dream, I met with Mr. Paisley. Now, we know that Ian Paisley has gone on to be with the Lord. And I believe he was a servant of God. But in this dream, I said to myself, there's Paisley, come on, have a chat, come on, talk with him. And he was all dressed up, and he's a big man, and he was laying down, and he was just laying on this thing like a couch. And I went over and I started to talk to him, and when I started to talk to him, he got up and he stood up, and he started asking me a couple of questions, and he said to me, was I a member of the church in Bonbridge? And he meant the Free Presbyterian Church. Now I don't know if there's anybody from the Free P's going to be listening to this, but I can only tell you what I dreamed. And I told him no. I told him I was a Pentecostal. And when I told him I was a Pentecostal, his whole countenance changed, and he became not aggressive, is not the word, but he was annoyed, he was disturbed that I told him that I was a Pentecostal. And then in the dream, I could see his disapproval. I don't know what he was talking to me, but I don't know what he said. And in the dream then, the Holy Spirit seemed to come in the dream. And the Lord started talking, and the Lord said, tell him the story about Brother Brown. Now forgive me for, it brings a lump in my throat. Said, tell him the story about Brother Brown, how that the wee blind girl in Germany came in the prayer line, and Brother Brown prayed for her, and she received her sight. And I need to tell you that story also, but if you haven't heard it recently, if you haven't saw it recently, I need to try and relate it to you. But I started to tell Mr. Paisley about the little blind German girl who came in the prayer line in Brother Branham's meeting. And this was in Germany. I think it was in 1955. And as I told the story, or related, tried to relate the testimony to Mr. Paisley, he was in a room and I was in the room, and there's another man, the door opened and a man came in, and he was well dressed with a suit of clothes on him, and he looked like an elder in the church, and he got a hold of Mr. Paisley, and both of them walked out the room. And then I kept on speaking and kept on telling the testimony. And then both of them came back in and I said, you know, they're not listening. They're not listening. And the other man who was really well dressed, he took Mr. Paisley out, and the both of them went out, and then both of them came back in, and they just came back in as the story was going over. But they never heard it. You see, that's only a dream. Now, you can't make a doctrine out of that. I'm not here tonight to make a doctrine out of it. I'm only telling you this is what happened in the dream. And I related that story. Now, I'm going to try to relate to you the story of this wee blind girl who came in the prayer line, who brought in the prayer line, and it was in Germany, and I think it was in 1955. And Brother Branham was there, and he was ministering the Word of God. And they bring this wee girl in the prayer line, and Brother Branham looks at the wee girl and he says, it's a blind spirit. Blind spirit, it's a demon. And there's an interpreter interpreting what Brother Branham's saying, because he's speaking to the German audience, I believe, and they don't understand him. And he asks everybody to bow their head and to keep your head bowed. And it's a very simple process that starts to take place. And he says, keep your head bowed and don't lift your head till I tell you. And he says to the audience through the interpreter to bow your head and keep your head bowed and don't lift your head till I tell you. And then he says that this is a blind spirit. And he starts to pray a simple prayer, and he says to the devil, that blind demon, he says, you're not afraid of me, but you're afraid of God. Amen. Now, I believe Brother Branham said the devil wasn't afraid of him. I believe the devil was afraid of him. I believe when you're anointed, whenever you're anointed, the devil's afraid of you. Why? Because you have power over him. And Brother Branham, they say, they tell the people to keep their head bowed. And he just prays a simple prayer. It doesn't last very long. And he said, now the spirit has gone. You can lift your head. Oh my. Now that demon has gone. You can lift your head. And there's that little girl. And she may have been born blind. She had never saw her mother. She never saw anybody. And she's standing. And she's looking at Brother Branham. And she must catch hold of Brother Branham's tie. And she says to Brother Branham, what colour is that? And he says, it's blue. He says, put your hand in my nose. And she puts her hand on his nose. There's a woman who comes out of the audience and comes to the platform or comes to the front. And the woman starts to scream. And that little girl turns round and she looks at that woman and she says, you're my mother, for I've never saw you, but I know your voice. That's the supernatural power of God. That's the spirit of Elijah. That's the Holy Ghost. I'll tell you, that's the old landmark. That's what the early church had. That's what the disciples had. That's what Peter and John had. That's what the power of God will do. I tell you, that young girl went out of that meeting saying with her eyes, got her eyes open.
Right,
we're in Scarver. We're coming down the street. We're going home now. The bombs is coming, and we're walking on down to get ready to get home. And we're getting out near the edge of the road out there. We're heading down next to the Pond Bridge side. And here we come walking down, and here on the side of the road, there's a man, and he's set up a wee stall, and he's got a few tracks And he's got a good text up. And it says, the fool has said in his heart there's no God. And Carl walks on, of course, and I stop with him to see what he has. And we start a conversation, and he says to me, pardon me, are you a Christian? I says, I'm a Christian. I says, sorry, forgive me a minute. I says, I'm depending on the finished work, on the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in sanctification, I believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and I believe the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. He says, there's a leaflet, I'd like you to take it, and it's on the leaflet, you may have seen them, you may have got one, it's about the Pied Piper. And on there it's talking about the decline of holiness in the church over the past 3 decades. And the man, I'm not going to mention his name, but he's putting it down to the spirit of Calvinism. Now Calvin preached saved once and always saved, which we believe is the truth. And this man was linking that to the fact that people had become unholy and people wasn't really doing what they should do to be a Christian. And then the man, just out of the blue, I'm looking at this leaflet and I'm about to go, and he says to me, what do you think of Mr. Ian Paisley? Now the dream starts to work. It's nothing to do with me, but God is in it, I believe. And he says, what do you think of Mr. Ian Paisley? I said, he was a good man, but he did not believe in the supernatural. I wasn't thinking about the dream. He said he didn't believe in the supernatural. I said, that is exactly the truth. He didn't believe in the supernatural, and I'm going to tell you that if you speak with tongues in his church, you have to be excommunicated. You're not allowed to be a member of the Free Presbyterian Church and speak with tongues. And I said, Mr. Paisley did not believe in the supernatural. And he said, well, I don't know whether that's right or not. And I says, well, I have a question for you. What did you think of William Branham? What do you think of him? What think ye of Brother Branham? He said, I've never heard tell of him. I says, you have never heard tell of him. Well, I says, I'm going to tell you now who he was. He was the messenger to the seventh church age, and he returned in the 20th century to restore us back to the original, and he was under the spirit of Elijah. And I says, I want to tell you a story about him casting out a blind spirit from a little girl that was born blind. And I says, when the demon was cast out, the little girl could see. And I started to tell him the story, and his wife, you know, whenever I said this, there he's standing, and I believe it was his wife standing beside him. And you know, sometimes Billy says he looks at me. Why, they looked at each other. I can see them looking at each other. I said, what think ye of Brother Branham? What think ye of William Branham? What think ye of the spirit of Elijah? I go on to tell him who he was. Said he never heard tell of him. And I started to relate to him. The Holy Ghost said, tell him the story. Paisley out and brought him in. Never heard it. Never heard it. I shake hands with him and left him. Why, I tell you, no shrill in this country. The denominations has removed the landmarks.
That's right.
They have removed them so far, they don't know where they are. They have removed them so far away from this book, they can have no manifestation of the power of God. Do you know why the devil never wants anybody to speak with tongues? Because it's a supernatural manifestation of God's power. Yeah. I know there's a false one, but there had to be a genuine one first. Yeah. And God had it first. Yeah. The devil never had nothing first. Yeah. He never had nothing. All he ever had was something that God made, and he took it and tried to pervert it. Yeah. Why wasn't that a strange thing? Wasn't that a strange thing? Thank God he hasn't left himself without a witness.
Amen.
You know what we want? You know what I want? I want meetings where demons are cast out. You say to somebody that you know anything about demons, say, what are you talking about? You know nothing about them. Know nothing about them. Can sit in a meeting for years and know nothing about the devil. You know what Brother Brown said? He said in the last days the demons, more demons would be loose. Sure, there's more sickness now than ever. Is there not more sickness now than ever? Is there not more suicides than ever? Why the devil's killing them? Why is he killing them? Somebody removed the landmark. Removed. Said, oh no, that was for the disciples. You know when you hear a man talking, you know what he's doing? He's removing the landmark. He's contradicting this word. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, I want to say this, and I'm coming to a close. If you've got a laptop, if you've got a smartphone, Go on the laptop, go on the smartphone and punch in Brother Branham praying for a little German girl who was blind. And you'll be able to watch that miracle. You'll be able to watch it. You mightn't see it in detail, but you'll hear Brother Branham what he says. He says, devil, you're not afraid of me, but I know you're afraid of God. And when that blind spirit was cast out, the little girl saw for the first time in her life. She asked him what colour his tie was. He said, put your hand on my nose. And she put her hand on his nose. His mother came screaming to the front or to the platform. She turned and she says, you're my mother. I've never saw you, but I know your voice. Oh, boy. Is that not a miracle? You know, people today are calling things miracles or not miracles. It's like we heard this morning, they're calling light darkness, and they're calling bitter sweet and sweet bitter. They've got it all wrong. Why? Because they removed the landmarks. Why does somebody remove a landmark? I'll tell you why they remove a landmark. They remove it for their own ends. They remove it to accommodate them. They remove it out of greediness. They remove it because they think that they know better. Some people remove the landmark because they say, we have moved on. We no longer need them old. We don't need that old stuff. We don't need that old book. Oh, we don't need that old Bible. Sure, that's how to get it. You know, there's a wee verse in Hosea. I have it written down here in Matthew somewhere. I think it's Hosea chapter 6 and it's verse 5. No, it's verse 10. Can you get that for us? And I'm stepping down, I'm standing down, but just a wee moment. I've got the verse wrong. Can you give me more verses, brother? I've written down verse 10. How did I do that? Can you give me a few? Give me verse 5. Why is that voice? Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he has torn and he will heal us. He has smitten and he will bind us up. Give me verse 6. Give me some more. Praise advice. Boy, I don't know how I've done this, but I've done something wrong. I was talking about removing the boundary. I must have got it wrong. I'm sorry about that. It says, Hosea. Is that all of the chapter, Matthew?
Yes.
How did I do that? I'm sorry about that, but there's a verse somewhere in Hosea. I thought it was chapter 6, and I've written down 6 and 10. But it mustn't be chapter 6 at all. And I have my Bible closed. I'm not going to take your time. But there's a verse there in Hosea somewhere. And it says that Judah has removed the bound. Chapter 5, thanks John, sorry about that Matthew. That is it. Chapter 5 and verse 10 says, the princes of Judah were like them that removed the bound. You know, that's the landmark. That's the landmark, that's the boundary. Then it removed the boundary. And it says the princes of Judah, the men who should have known better, the men who should know the difference, do it. The men who ought to know not to do it are moving the boundary. They're moving the goalposts. They're moving it, and they're moving it so that you can't score. And it's God doesn't like it. He says, therefore, I will pour out my wrath upon them like water. Do you know, if you want to be under the wrath of God, move the boundary. Move the boundary. You move the boundary, you have to deal with God. God's going to deal with you. You know, God's dealing with people today because, I tell you, God sees it. See, when somebody moves the boundary, God will see it. It's not good. Thank God. You know, when you read the Bible, you see where the landmark should be. When you read the Bible, you see where the boundary is. When you read the Bible, you see what is rightfully yours. You see you're a child of the King. And you have an inheritance among the saints. I want to thank you for listening. I've went on and on and on and on. I'm just going to pray, and then Guy's going to come and he's going to close our meeting and lead us in song tonight. Bless the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you. We bless your name, Lord, for how whenever someone has moved the boundary, you have always sent a word to counteract it. And we thank you, Lord, even in the last days, you sent us a messenger to turn us back to that original, back to the spoken word, back to the true gospel, back to the power of God. Lord, I ask that you'll help us, Lord, to know where the landmark is and where the landmark should be. And Lord, help us to defend that'll never be moved in our day. And in the generation to come, if you live, if you tarry, Lord, and allow us to go on. Lord, tonight, I pray you'll bless your people. I thank you for them, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that this word will be like manna to their soul. In Jesus' precious name. Lord, meet every need. We thank you for this day, Lord, how you spoke to us this morning. And Lord, help us again till arise and eat. Lord, the enemy wants us to lie down, but Lord, help us to arise and stand upon our feet. And Lord, you have a table spread where the saints of God are fed. We thank you, Lord, tonight for manna from heaven. We thank you for angels' food. We thank you, Lord, for sending Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, that you came. Holy Spirit, won't you teach us more about that lovely name? Bless us now, Lord, as we come to the end of our service. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Brother Gary.